Please be seated. Some of you might recall that a little over a year ago, I was privileged to be able to be a part of a mission trip to Haiti. My involvement came through some fellow clergy who had done some work there, and my interest was based on what we had been asked to consider helping to accomplish. The priest of the Episcopal Church in the city of Torbeck, Haiti, on the southern coast, had responsibility for six small Episcopal parishes in the area, and each of those parishes had an Episcopal school. That's where I came in. We were being asked to consider helping construct a school building for the existing school in the village of La Prete. Now, the Episcopal school in La Prete enrolls about 100 students from kindergarten through the fifth grade, and their problem was that all the grades were housed in the church, in the one-room church. It was chaotic, and once you saw it, you realized how difficult it must have been to teach, but also how difficult it must have been to learn. The school building was obviously a clear and pressing need for these people. We did a lot of research before we went, and we contacted other groups who had done work in Haiti, and we discovered that a school building could be built for around $50,000, which meant that if we included a lot of different parishes, the goal didn't seem too unrealistic. I was so excited about the possibilities of involving our parish and our school, and our school started collecting supplies for me to take with me. And by the time I left, I had suitcases upon suitcases of school supplies. Now, I really wanted to try to help our kids here form a connection with those kids in La Prete. Now, before I left, I'd been told that despite the poverty in Haiti, that cell phone and internet access was pretty readily available. It might be hit or miss in the mountains or in some of the smaller villages, but since La Prete was only 15 miles from the city of Torbeck, which is a decent-sized town, I had high hopes. I devised what I thought was a wonderful plan to connect our school here with the school in the city of La Prete. And I would deliver those school supplies on Wednesday morning when our kids were in their chapel service, and I would connect the two via Skype. It would have been great. But the reality is that nothing is easy in Haiti. And although La Prete is only 15 miles from a major city, the trip there took us over an hour and a half. The roads were really just primitive paths up a mountain, and we encountered a sinkhole at one point, and we literally had to get out of the truck so that our driver could carefully navigate around it really, really, really close to a large cliff. We actually had to drive through a river that during the rainy season would swell to the point that the entire village would be cut off for weeks at a time from civilization. We were told to bring lots of bottled water because there was no running water in La Prete. And one of my companions had brought along some water testing kits. And as we came into town, we were directed to a small stream, and we were told that was the only source of water for this entire village. And the results of our tests were horrid and certainly explained some of the disease and sickness we were about to see. Now, after an hour and a half ride along those bumpy roads and all that water, I had to go to the bathroom. But that was my next surprise. There weren't any. There was one outhouse behind a home across the street from the church, but that was it. And it, too, was horrid. When we walked into the school, we were not met by 100 students. There were only a handful. And the headmaster explained to us that's because it was Tuesday, market day. And most of the families took their children out of school on Tuesdays to help them carry supplies home on that long journey that we had just driven. That was okay, though. I really hadn't planned on giving the kids the school supplies until the next day, Wednesday, chapel day. And then it hit me. We weren't going to be doing any Skyping of chapel services on Wednesday. There wasn't going to be internet access. I didn't even need to get my computer out and try it. It was not going to be possible for one simple reason. The village of La Prete had no electricity. None. This village of over 1,000 people was so isolated because of its location, but also so terribly isolated because they had no electricity. And I think it was the next day that I noticed something I hadn't noticed the day before. And it was a sight that struck me, and I really just couldn't get it out of my head. Throughout that village, throughout the village of La Prete, there were telephone poles, power poles. It didn't make sense. It was such an incredibly bizarre sight. But down the main street of that village, as far as the eye could see, was their connection to the outside world. But the power poles had no power lines. It was just the poles. You could tell that the poles were old, but regardless, they were useless. And I can't adequately express how confounded I was by this. Did La Prete at one time have electricity and for some reason it was taken out? Maybe the poles had been put in by some well-meaning group like ours, but the lines never run. Or maybe the whole thing was just a monument to the corrupt and incompetent government of Haiti. I asked the villagers about it and nobody had any answers. The oldest person I encountered in that village was probably around my age, and even he was one of the teachers at the school, and even he could not remember a time when La Prete was plugged in. It became for me a metaphor. It became for me a metaphor of everything that was wrong in that village. The time of Jesus, the metaphor was vines and branches. In today's La Prete, the metaphor is useless power poles, but the point remains the same. Our lives are defined by what we're connected to. Our lives find meaning by who we connect ourselves with. And you don't need me to explain the story of the vines and the branches. You know that God is the vine owner, Jesus the vine, and we're the branches. The vine's the source of life and nourishment, and that connection is what enables us, the branches, to be fruitful. And even if you've never heard this story in the Bible, you need only clip a flower from your backyard to understand that without that connection to the plant, the flower is going to die. We know this. It is so very simple. We live this story. But there's a part of me that can't help but wonder if we really still believe it. Look at us as a society. It is very popular these days to say, I'm spiritual but not religious, which is really just a nice way to say, I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning and go to church. As a society, we think we are more connected than ever, yet so many people feel increasingly isolated. Anybody with a Facebook page knows there's some awfully lonely people out there. We are LinkedIn all over the place with rates of loneliness and depression skyrocketing. We are connected to more sources of news and information and entertainment and even each other through email and social media. And sometimes it seems like we're drowning in all that information while simultaneously starving for an actual experience, especially the experience of being in a real relationship, an abiding relationship. That's the part we most often miss, the abiding part. It's easier than in any time in history for you and me to be connected to something. But the abiding part has always taken effort, sometimes more effort than we're willing to give. Abiding is more than connection. Abiding is a relationship. It means for us to wait for, to endure steadfastly, to bear patiently, and to accept without objection. And we understand that because we've asked God to wait for us, to endure us, to be patient with us, and to accept us. But do we ever really consider the fact that God asked the same of us? He asked just as desperately to wait for him, to endure him, to be patient with him, and to accept him without objection. And it's in that connection, that mutual effort, that you and I can come to know a oneness with our Creator, in which the point where self ends and the divine begins is as indistinguishable as the branches of a grapevine. For that is the only connection that is the source of our hope. and the means by which you and I can be fruitful. It is the source of life that empowers us to be a source of care and love for our neighbors, a cup of water to those who thirst, an assurance to those who are in doubt, a comfort to those in pain, and a gift to those in need. And it is also the source from which our own pain and brokenness can somehow, amazingly, be redeemed. I'm still convinced that the lives of the people of La Prete would be changed forever if they just find some way to connect those power poles. But there's a funny thing that happens about these vines and branches. The vine can be an awfully stubborn plant. And the truth is, the vine grower is the one who does all the work. All we need to do is be fruitful. And all we need to do to be fruitful is to let the vine do its job and remain part of it. You see, I wanted to fix La Prete my way, but not one person there, amazingly, seemed the least bit bothered about not having electricity. That was my problem. Other things, basic things, were more important, and it became apparent to us that even the school building wasn't the first thing we needed to address. And since my trip, two other groups have gone to La Prete on medical and construction missions, and today, all the children of that school have had a medical exam by a pediatrician, and charts have been put together to monitor their health and their growth. Also, two latrines have been built at that school for the children to be able to go to the bathroom. And most importantly, a well has been dug. A well has been dug and installed there at the church. And for the first time in the history of this tiny village, the people there have clean water and can quench their thirst and cook their meals without fearing they might get sick and die. That's huge. And it's because of you. It's because of you, your support, your donations, your fruitfulness. It wasn't the plan. But like I said, that vine can be a stubborn plant. And the vine grower always gets his way. We are just called to be fruitful, to remain part of that vine, and to abide there. And today, as we honor our high school graduates, is there any better message we can leave with them? Because in that abiding, the funniest thing happens. Through our connection to the vine, we are empowered and even freed to connect to another. And there is more real power there than in all the electricity in Haiti, pun intended. Abide with me, we pray. Abide with me too, God asks. And it is there beyond simple connections where the enormity of God's grace nourishes us and those we touch through that wonderfully divine relationship and lives of abundant fruitfulness. God love you. Amen.